The reading tonight is from Matthew's Gospel, New Testament opening book. Matthew's Gospel in the chapter 9, please. Reading from verse 1 down to 13. And he entered into a ship, that is, of course, the Lord Jesus, and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And, behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Then saith he to the sick of the palsy, Arise and take up thy bed, and go unto thine house. And he arose and departed to his house. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. And he saith unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. This is the word of God, and he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Thank you.
Well, I want to thank our brother for leading the meeting tonight, Nathan McVeigh. He is a third-year ministerial student from Donaghadee, and I appreciate that very much. If you would look at the passage that was just read, Matthew chapter 9, I want to share with you tonight on two words in verse 9. The words that Christ said to Matthew, he said unto him, Follow me, follow me. With our Bibles open, let's just commit this time to the Lord in prayer. God of heaven, we rejoice that we can approach unto thee this night. We thank thee for the open book before us. And Father, we pray that thou wouldest open up the book and teach us from thy word this night. And we pray that, Lord, you would give help to both preacher and hearer. We pray that tonight the message would go forth clearly with profoundness. And yet, Lord, we pray that sinners would be convicted. O Lord, do a work in the hearts and the souls of men this evening, we pray. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. This verse 9 of Matthew chapter 9 records for us the conversion of the disciple Matthew. In this account, we are shown very clearly what it means to be a Christian. There are many ideas in the world today about what it means to be a Christian. But yet the Bible shows to us very clearly that a Christian is a follower of Jesus Christ. If someone were to ask you, what does it mean to be a Christian? To be a Christian means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. You'll see here that Christ said to Matthew, Follow me. And Matthew followed Christ. Now Matthew, who was he? We see that he was a tax collector. We find him sitting at the receipt of custom. that was in those days the tax office. It was where the money was collected for the taxes. And this was a despised profession, because not only did Matthew work for the Romans, which were a group of people that the Jews despised and hated, but these men were known for stealing money from the people. And this was a common practice amongst tax collectors of those days. They would take more from the people than what was required. And so they were a hated and despised group. And we get an indication of this in verse 11, when we see the criticism expressed towards Jesus Christ for even associating with them, for even eating with them. Such was the stigma associated with these people. But not only was Matthew a tax collector, but we find also that he was a Levite. He came from the tribe of Levi, which was the tribe chosen of the Lord, where the high priest came from. And the tribe of Levi in general was involved in the work of God in the temple. They were the tribe that were responsible for the administrative work in the temple. And so Matthew, as a Levite, he should have been involved in the work of the Lord. He should have been serving the Lord with his life. And yet here we find him in a degrading business, sitting at the receipt of custom, stealing money from others. Such was his reputation. He was known as a notorious sinner. He was known for his lying, for his deceiving, for the corruptness and the depravity of his life. This wasn't someone that you would meet and go, they're a good person. This is someone that you would meet and you would say, there's the scum of society. Do you realize today that is true of each one of you here tonight who doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ? As Matthew was, not serving the Lord with his life, not giving glory to the Lord, so you too are found here tonight not serving the Lord with your life. Do you realize that you were made to give glory to God? Do you realize that you were created for the service of God? And yet if you're here outside of Christ, the things of God and the service of God is far from your mind. And you're found rebelling against God, involving yourself in sin, involving yourself in the things of the world. And thus you display, as all people are, the very fact that you are a sinner. The fact that you are deserving of the judgment of God for your sin that you have committed against God. You see, man has completely turned his back against God, and in so doing, he is not fulfilling what he has been designed and created to do. And so you're found here tonight, as Matthew was, not serving the Lord, not giving glory to him. And yet we find in this passage that Matthew became a follower of Jesus Christ. His life was changed. He experienced the new birth. There was a revolution within his life. When we see him and we look at his testimony, we're reminded of the words of 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He is a new creation. Do you realize when you become a Christian, you become a new creation? Because your life is dedicated to the service and glory of God. You're a new creation. That is what happened to Matthew. He became a follower of Jesus Christ. But what does it mean to be a follower of Jesus Christ? Well, firstly, to be a follower of Christ, to be a Christian, it means that you hear the call of Christ. You hear the call of Christ. Christ said to Matthew, follow me. These words are in the nature of a command. They are spoken with authority and with a compulsion. And Matthew heard Christ speak to him. He heard this command to follow, and we read that he arose and followed Christ. The Lord called to him where he was, and he called him to follow, and Matthew followed him. He heard the command of God. And today, Christ speaks to us and calls to us from his word, the Holy Scriptures. We read in Romans 10 and verse 17 that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so to be saved, to be a Christian, there has to be the hearing of the word of God. There has to be the reception of the command of Christ to follow. You see, the Bible describes Christians as the called, those that have been called by Christ, those that have heard the command of Christ. But you'll notice as well that this call is a command to follow. It's a command to follow. Because Christ said to Matthew, "Follow me." You see, in Acts 17 and verse 30, the word of God says that God says to men, "Now command, God commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness." Here is the command: God commandeth all men. You see, Christ came to this earth firstly in humiliation, but he will not return as such. He will return in exaltation. He will return in victory and glory. And his return as such is the very compulsion for you to get right with God today. But God has given to us grace in this time to hear the command of God. And what is your response to it? You see, yes, the gospel is an invitation. You are invited tonight to come to Christ. But it is also a command. God commands you personally to come to Christ tonight and be saved. You know, perhaps today you would call yourself a friend of Christ. Perhaps you would say that you have heard the call of Christ. But let me remind you of what the Lord said in John 15 and verse 14. He said, "Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you." Do you realize tonight that if you truly are a follower of Christ, you will obey his command. You will follow his word. And that begins at the very beginning, at conversion, because you hear the call of Christ and you obey. You see, you must obey the command. You must obey the call of Christ. You cannot say that you are a friend to the Lord and yet live in disobedience to his command, live in sinfulness, live in a manner that is rebelling against God. You are displaying that you are not really a friend of God. You see, to be a Christian means you hear Christ say to you, "Follow me," and you submit to his will. You obey his command and you commit yourself to the Lord. You give yourself to the Lord. You hear his command and you obey it. That is what it means to be a Christian, to hear the call of Christ. But then secondly, to be a Christian means to repent of sin. Again, we read that Christ said to Matthew, "Follow me." And we read that Matthew arose and he followed the Lord. You will notice with me that he left his former life. You will notice that he got up from behind the desk and he left it for good. You will see that he forsook his business. He turned his back on what he was formerly engaged in. And he turned his attention to following the Lord. You'll see that he left all to obey the command of Christ. And this gives to us an illustration of what it means to repent of your sin. It means to turn your back on sin. You see, it means that you realize your condition in sin, the need you have of a Savior. You confess your sinfulness to the Lord. You forsake the sin that you once had pleasure in to follow the Lord Jesus Christ wholeheartedly. Was this not the case with the other disciples as well? If you recall with me, when the Lord saw Peter and Andrew there with the fishing boats, and the Lord said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And what do we read? And straightway they left their nets, and they followed him. You see, they heard the command, but they forsook their nets. They turned their back on their business to follow the Lord. You see, that is what it means for all who follow Christ. There has to be the forsaking of sin. There has to be the turning back, the leaving behind of the things of the world. You see, Jesus said, "You cannot serve two masters. Either you will love the one or hate the other." Do you realize tonight that you cannot try to combine the two together and think that somehow you can serve the Lord or be a Christian and yet hold on to the things of the world or hold on to sin? Which master are you going to serve? Are you going to serve Christ? Are you going to serve sin and the world and self? See, the Bible says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted." To be converted, you must repent. And you will notice as well that this was a public decision for Matthew. He was sitting at the receipt of custom. He was there amongst his colleagues. He was there behind a desk. No doubt there were others perhaps filing past paying their taxes. You will see that he got up and followed Christ. This wasn't something that he did privately in his own home. Perhaps his colleagues were sitting there with him at the desk. They would have seen what happened. Perhaps there were those who came to pay their taxes. They would have seen what happened. And you see that he was not swayed by public opinion. He was not pulled by the world. He was not influenced by peer pressure. Because he heard Christ. He heard that call, "Follow me." And there were new desires in his heart. And he followed the Lord because he had repented and he forsook all for the Lord. Can you see that tonight? When you become a Christian, you have new desires. Instead of wanting to go into the world and into sin, you want to follow the Lord. And yes, we fail. Yes, there are times when we fall from the Lord. But the desire of our hearts, can you truly say tonight that, "Oh Lord, yes, I do sin. Yes, I do fail thee. But my true heart's desire is not to do such things. My desire of my heart is to follow the Lord. With my all, yes, I'm a sinner, but Lord, you know my heart." Is that your case tonight? The desire of your heart is to follow Christ, to turn your back upon what you were involved in before and what you loved before and to commit yourself to Christ. You know, I am not preaching anything new tonight. This is what it means to be a Christian. This is what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. We've seen that to be a Christian, you hear the call of Christ. You repent of sin. But then thirdly and finally tonight, to be a Christian means to trust in Christ as your Savior. To trust in Christ as your Savior. Again we read that Christ said unto Matthew, "Follow me." And when Matthew heard this command, in order to follow Christ, he had to trust him. You think with me on this point. If somebody came to you and asked you to do something, a complete stranger, and you didn't trust them, you didn't know anything about them, what would you do if they asked you to do something? You wouldn't immediately do what they said, would you? You would be suspicious of them. You would be hesitant to do what they say because you don't trust them. Perhaps as someone you've had experience in the past and you know I can't trust that person. And so you wouldn't immediately jump to their command. And so what do we see when we see Matthew rising from the receipt of custom and following the Lord? We see from that there was a trust that Matthew had for Christ. He heard the command and he trusted it. He trusted Christ. See, the very fact that Matthew did as Christ bid was because he trusted him. And because he saw that Christ was the only one who could save him. And as well, it meant that he didn't trust anybody else. But he trusted Christ. When Christ said, "Follow me," he followed. Let me ask you tonight, when it comes to your own salvation, do you trust anybody else or do you trust Christ alone? Are you swayed by other things? Or is it Christ alone that you trust tonight? And I mean nothing else but him. You see, Matthew saw Christ as his Savior, and he was prepared to give himself over to the Lord. He was ready to believe him. And he had faith that Christ was able to save him. Do you remember the words of Peter when the Lord said to him, "Shall ye also go?" And Peter said to the Lord, "To whom else shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." And Peter went on and he said, "And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of God." Do you not sense in those words a deep trust for the Savior? We believe and are sure. Do you believe and are sure tonight that Christ is your Savior? You see, Peter was convinced. And it's important for you to understand tonight that you cannot be a Christian if you do not believe that Christ can save you from your sins. And you cannot be a Christian if you don't trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you're here tonight and you've made a profession, and yet when I ask that question and you truly examine your heart and you see, "I don't truly believe that Christ died for my sin. I don't truly trust him as Savior," you're not a Christian. You see, perhaps you don't believe that Christ alone can save you. And yet that doubt within your soul is not because Christ cannot save, but it is because of your own doubt and your own skepticism of Christ. And let me warn you most solemnly tonight from the words of Hebrews 3 and verse 12. And we read there, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." Do you realize that to have unbelief in your heart is the same as having an evil heart? It's only because of the evilness and wickedness of your heart that you would turn your back against God, that you would reject Christ. Your own unbelief is an indication of the wretchedness and the depravity of your soul. You see, tonight, if you're here and you're unbelieving, oh, there's a warning for you here, but let me encourage you that Christ is able to save you because he alone is the sinless Son of God. He alone is the one who can take your place. He alone is the one who could make peace between God and men. He alone is the one who can deliver you from the bondage and power of sin. It is Christ alone that can save you. We read in Hebrews 7 and verse 25, He is able to save them to the uttermost, them that come unto God by Him. That word uttermost, it means completely. There's no sinner God cannot save if He so desires to do. Do not sit here tonight and think that you are beyond the grace of God. Because we read here that God is able to save sinners from the uttermost, that come unto God by Him. Do you notice from this verse that we can only come to God through the Lord Jesus Christ? We can only be accepted by God through the Lord Jesus Christ. We can only stand cleansed and justified before God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Or are you beginning to see tonight? You must believe in Christ as your Savior. Because if you stand before God without Christ, you stand with your sin exposed, and God, as a just and righteous judge, will deal with you in righteousness and truth, and He will send you to an eternity in hell. That is the consequences of sin. That is how God, in His justice, deals with those who have an evil heart of unbelief. Well, you might only think tonight that God sends really bad people who you think to hell. Do you realize the sin of unbelief may well be the sin that causes you to end up in eternity in hell? Are you unbelieving tonight? In your heart, are you saying, I don't believe a word the preacher's saying, and I don't really think that Christ can save? Is that your heart tonight? Oh, how fearful it is to be in that position. You see, the Bible says in Acts 16 and verse 31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You see, there is a wonderful promise in that verse that if you commit yourself to the Lord, if you trust in Christ as your personal Savior, and you rest in who He is and what He has done for you, you will be saved. That is the promise to you tonight. That if you believe, and you, as Matthew did, hear that call, follow me, and you turn your back on sin, and you trust Christ with all of your heart, you commit yourself to Him. Isn't it amazing to think that Matthew went from such a degrading business, such a life, and you follow him through Scripture and you find him there in the upper room when the Holy Spirit came upon the believers. And you find him in Acts amongst the missionary work. And you find in God's holy word the Gospel of Matthew. What does that tell to you tonight? It means that God can completely change men's lives. It means that no matter what you are right now, God can change you. It means that what you are in sin right now might not necessarily be the case in eternity. But you see, it all begins for you as it did for Matthew. If you hear the words, follow me, and you follow Christ. I pray that tonight, if you don't know the Lord, and you've heard that call, and you feel that the Lord is dealing with your soul, that you would, as Matthew did, get up from that receipt of custom, as it were, that you would get up out of your sin, commit yourself to Christ and follow him. I've shown you tonight from the word of God the blessed promise that whosoever believeth, if you believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. I leave that with you. May you get right with God tonight and know the blessing of forgiveness of sin and being saved by the grace of God. Amen.